The epistle appointed to be read for this, the Sunday within the octave of Ascension, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of a manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be with words of God, as of with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, that when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, from the bulletin, there are most of the things you can read for yourselves, of course, but there are two or three things that I wish to lay stress on. The first, the important one, being that next Sunday is the great and glorious feast of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Feast of Pentecost, and that we should prepare ourselves well for this. As you know, the novena to the Holy Ghost is in progress at the present time. There will be catechism class this morning. Wednesday of this week is the feast of the Queenship of our Blessed Mother. It is in the Roman calendar. It isn't in our calendar, but in the Roman calendar. And I certainly direct your attention to that magnificent feast of the Queenship of Mary. As you all know, we have printed already the assignments for Corpus Christi, and if there's anyone who cannot fulfill the assigned task that has been given to him, please see me personally as soon as possible. Don't send a delegate to me, because delegates have a tendency to change things around. Do it yourselves directly to me. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, as you know, our bulletins, the instructions within our bulletins that appear each week, as also the instruction that comes from here, the normal atmosphere of it pertains to the interior life of the soul. These last two or three weeks, we have wandered a little bit from that because of our felt necessity to do so. And we have gone into a discussion that perhaps absolutely needs to be emphasized and underlined and kept very, very, very carefully within our minds and hearts and souls. There are forces at work. There are forces to the right of us. There are forces to the left of us. And it seems, it is an actual fact noticed to be seen that the forces on either side of us have gained a momentum that is overwhelming. You do not need me to tell you the overwhelming power of the force that is on the left of us, and that it is gaining momentum by the instant, confusing us and bringing down the heaps of the fires of hell to disturb our consciences, our minds, and our souls. But let us not look only to the left of us. Let us also look to the right of us. And there are forces that are of equal strength to overwhelm us, to put doubt into us, and to make us wonder and to quake under the pressure that they put upon us. The times are overwhelming, and we are caught in the middle. Those of us who struggle and work and suffer and are contradicted and are punished and are pushed aside and are shoved away, those of us who are simply trying to do the work of God as best we can. This is not easy. It is anything but easy. And it makes us wonder sometimes just how much can we put up with this? How much of this weight can we stand? How much can we stand up under this horrendous pressure that comes to us from every side, especially those of us who have children? Those of us, and there's everyone, who is it in this room right now, as I've said before, who is it in this room, including myself, who does not receive pressure from those within the ranks of one's own family, whose mothers and fathers and sons, and we've said this before, and daughters, etc., have wandered away and look upon us almost as freaks, because we either do not correspond to what the left has said, that we do not accept what the left is saying, not has said, have said, but is saying. But those on the right of us who are constantly shooting us with disobedience and pride and ignorance and everything else that can be thought of, that's pressure. My beloved people, the fire of divine love in Christianity, little by little, is being extinguished. That's a hard saying. But who is it that can tell me that this is not true? Not just in the last few months, not just in the last few years, but over the long run, particularly so, it gains, like you know, the snowball that starts at the top of the mountain, little to begin with, as it begins to go down the mountain, not only does it grow in size, but it grows in momentum and momentum until it crushes whatever it hits. That fire, my beloved people, has been going down and is gradually being extinguished, and it is reducing. Now this is a part that we have to be very, very, very careful about. Let us take heed. Let us not put ourselves a cut above anybody. Yes, last Sunday, in last Sunday's bulletin, you were told with all truth and sincerity, you are the light of the world. Not just you that are in this church right here, right now, but those that, when I say us, I mean those wherever we are who are the light of the world. And we, as was pointed out last week, we are the ones that must see to it that this fire does not go out. Next Sunday, of course, is the Feast of the Holy Ghost, who brings the fire to us, who has the fire of divine love that he places within us. And as this fire goes out, even in us, my beloved people, we must be careful how much do we, or to what degree do we, as intent as we are, and as conscientious as we are, as in earnest as we are, how much does our observance, I don't mean by observance the coming of Mass and the saying of the rosary and the saying of the prayers or whatever, how much of the interior burning of this fire compares to the interior burning of this fire in those that came before us? We are infected, whether we want it or not. We are infected by that which is of the world. Materialism. We are the victims of materialism. We've got to have everything. And one of the great problems of today is a problem of taste. How much like the tastes of our forerunners is our own taste? And how much do we enslave ourselves in order to please that taste? How many things do we have, do we propose to own, that are absolutely necessary, to which things we are attached with an inordinate love? And they will go to any extreme in order to have and to hold. My beloved people, we too have to look and be careful. And as we go about and listening to all of this that is coming toward us in all directions, our minds are filled with doubt. Doubt. Who is telling the truth I repeat, who is telling the truth? The people to the left of us are capable people. They're not idiots. Listen to what they're saying. They're not idiots. The people to the right of us are not idiots. Listen to what they are saying. And here we are. Who is telling the truth? And doubt, that terrible, terrible affliction. Doubt. What punishment is there in the heart of a loving wife into whose heart the doubt of the sincerity of her husband is at stake? What is it that can ever completely erase that doubt? It will be there until she breathes her last breath. And so it is. When doubt is placed in our minds and we ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Why? Do you come here? It so happens with us. Why do you come here? What is your purpose? What is your underlying reason for being here right now, at this moment, at this sitting? What is my reason for being here, for speaking? There are so many other things that would be so pleasant to do. I could be on the mountaintop or on the beach or on here or there or wherever, enjoying the soft life. Why? It isn't easy to stand in front of a group of people and speak. Why are we doing this? What is it that has to be? The pressure is getting greater and greater. And incredibility is getting greater and greater. And don't think for a second that we will not be attacked and shot at with arguments that are seemingly above reproach. But who is telling the truth? Pontius Pilate. When he was right there, in the presence of truth itself, talking to truth itself, sending truth itself to be scourged, crying out, "Behold the man," Pontius Pilate asked, "What is truth?" The poor man was looking for a definition. How many of us are looking for a definition of truth? We speak often of the love of God in here, and we speak often of the love being a condition in here. Almighty God is perfection itself, is infinite perfection itself. And all of the virtues that we can possibly think of, everyone in God Himself is at its peak of divine perfection. And it was His love, charity. It was His love that literally forced Him. Yes, we can use the word love forced God. To make something in His own image and likeness. It was His love that created man. It was His love, my beloved people, when His created man went completely berserk in sin and pride and self-centeredness. It was His love. It was the overwhelming love, the overpowering love of God Almighty Himself that brought about the great mystery of the Incarnation for the purpose of making it possible for that His creation to fulfill its purpose. It was His love, entirely His love. He could not but do it that caused Him to walk up the steeps of Calvary. It was His love that left us a treasure that is beyond every treasure that can be thought of, His own flesh and blood. It was His love that makes that which is on the altar possible. It was the love of God that made purgatory for those of us who have still got some debt to pay. And it goes on, and we can say it was His love, it was His love, it was His love. And when you, my beloved people, listen to the words of those that come from the words that come from those on the left of us, and are those that come, the words that come to us from those on the right of us, look at the Blessed Sacrament in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle, there. Is your answer. There is your answer. Whereas on the other hand, if you do not look there, as you listen to the words on the left of us and to the words on the right of us, and here we are being ripped apart. What, my beloved people, what has all of this led to? Look at all that you come into contact with every day. Indifferentism. They could care less And what we're talking about? An ant mound probably has more importance than what I'm talking about right now, as far as they are concerned. Indifferentism. What else do you see outside? Amongst those that you, more than we, at least we are sheltered. Yes, we are. We do not see, I think I see a lot, and I do, we do, but not nearly so much as you do. And as you walk about and talk to this one and to that one and to the other, you run into skepticism. I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't believe. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. This book that you call Scripture, what is the truthfulness of it? All through the ages, you have lied. You have not told the truth. This is not possible. And as you walk about, and even my beloved, precious, precious, precious loved ones, amongst some of your dearest ones, have you not run face to face with paganism? Your own children, your own parents, etc. And as a consequence, as we look about, and as we read about, and as we hear about, what do we have to say about our own final destruction? The people on the left of us say, don't worry. I'm okay. You're okay. Don't stop this business of telling us, I've got to quit in a minute, of telling us that the glass is half empty. That's negativism. Don't be so negative. Don't tell us the glass is half empty. Tell us the glass is half full. And we will go home and be happy. Whereas over here, on the right of us, all we hear is the glass is almost empty. And probably, in spite of whatever, the probability of your going to hell is pretty great. So there you have it. Pleasure and hell. But they both, do they not work together? Are they not chained together? Bringing destruction. Bringing souls to hell. In today's bulletin, the final line, and then I will think about quitting. The final line says, and this is so strong, I didn't think of this line. The devil delights in fishing in troubled waters. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. My beloved people, go to the Holy Ghost. Beg him. Ask him, can you hear me upstairs? Ask him to give us of his fruits and his precious gifts. for ourselves, for those we love most, and that in this horrendous cloud of unbelief that is around us, this cloud of dreadful destruction around us, that we will somehow find our way out of it, and that we will be able to save our immortal souls. How often, my beloved people, has it been told to you that there is nothing, 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 nothing that is important enough to take my soul away from God? Nothing to take me away from God. It is serious. It is personal. It is private. It is spiritual. And it has no equal in its importance. Me in a life eternal of torture and frustration and mental agony and punishment and pain and ugliness and ferocious whatever for all eternity in exchange for a pebble of this earth. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Have we ever asked ourselves, what are we trying to remember on Memorial Day? Whoever invented Memorial Day, so be it at Memorial Day. It is. But for goodness sake, let us keep in mind what it is we're trying to remember. And that it is not just a day for hot dogs and hamburgers. It's a little bit more than that. Get on your knees and thank your God that He has given you a grace that He has not given to others. Why has He given you? Why has He given it to me? Who in the world are you? And who in the world am I that we should be given such a gift? What have I given to my Lord for all He has given to me? My beloved people.